One year, the director of the cloister said, "I'm sorry, Brother Don, we will not need you this Christmas. We have a new monk who has a beautiful voice." The man did sing beautifully, and everyone was happy. But that night, an angel came to the superior and said, "Why didn't you have a Christmas Eve song?" The superior was very surprised. "We had a beautiful song," he replied. "Didn't you hear it?" The angel shook his head sadly. "It may have been inspiring to you, but we didn't hear it in heaven." You see, Corey would say, the old monk with the raspy voice had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. But the young monk was singing for his own benefit, not for that of the Lord. Tonight is a celebration for those who know and love Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Behold, the Savior, Christ the Lord, has been born. Would you stand with me? And we don't care if you have a raspy voice. Bible says, make a joyful noise. So let's sing to the Lord on this wonderful night of celebration. Father God, we thank you for what Christmas means. Thank you for sending your son. It's his birth that we remember. We celebrate you. Fill our hearts tonight with the true meaning of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us.
Thank you. adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Praise the Lord. You guys can be seated as we continue to worship this evening. Father, we just thank you for such a wonderful night, Lord. Such a wonderful night to remember your birth, Jesus. Father God, we give you glory. We give you honor, Jesus. Our goal tonight, Father Lord, is to remember you. To remember all that you've done. To celebrate your birth. We're so grateful tonight, Jesus. This manger for a bed, you have a road before you, rest your little head, and can feel the weight of your glory. Do you understand the price?
to sleep, my son. Go and chase your dreams. This world can wait for one more moment. Go and sleep in peace. And I believe the glory of heaven is lying in your heart tonight. But
Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Thank you.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear in the world as cold as stone. Must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Be with me now. Breath in my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, do you wonder as you watch my a wiser one should have had my place, but I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong. Together, be forever near me, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath. Hold me together, be forever near me, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, breath of
heaven. Amen. There was a conversation that took place in heaven on that Christmas Eve, or shortly before that Christmas Eve. A conversation between God the Father and God the Son. And we have part of that conversation written in Scripture. I want to just read it to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, it says, therefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world at his incarnation, he said, by implication, to his Father. So therefore, when he came into the world, he said, and this is what God the Son said to God the Father, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Jesus, God the Son, is anticipating Bethlehem. He's about to enter our world. And he has this conversation with God the Father. And in this conversation, he takes note of the fact that God is completely dissatisfied with the sacrifices and offerings in the Old Testament era. He says, Father, you did not desire those sacrifices. You did not desire those offerings. The burnt offerings, the sacrifices for sin, they have given you no pleasure. All of the animal sacrifices, all of the offerings, God, those didn't please you. They didn't accomplish what you wanted them to accomplish. In the Old Testament, God commanded the nation of Israel to live under a law, a stringent law, the Mosaic law, the law of Moses. They couldn't keep that law perfectly. Nobody could. And I can still see. That's good. So God also imposed upon the nation of Israel in the Old Testament a sacrificial system. And here's how it worked. Whenever you sinned, whenever you failed to keep a commandment, you were required to bring an innocent animal to the temple or the tabernacle to the priest, and that animal would be killed on your behalf. That blood would be shed. That animal would be sacrificed. And that was how the arrangements worked through the entire Old Testament. They're supposed to keep this law. They can't keep the law. So they would bring animals for sacrifice when they broke the law. Now, from the New Testament perspective, which we have, we know that that system was never intended to be in place permanently. It was to be temporary. And it was actually a preparatory thing. It was preparing the nation of Israel for truth that would come later and the gospel that would come forth through the giving of Jesus Christ. But it did prepare them. It did teach them some things. One of the things that Old Testament economy taught the nation of Israel, all the Israelites, is that they couldn't keep a law. They couldn't do it. They were sinners. That whole system also taught them daily, weekly, yearly, as animals are being sacrificed for their sins, that in order for sin to be dealt with, an innocent victim has to be slaughtered in the place of the sinner. And only with the death of an innocent victim and the shedding of blood can sin be forgiven. On Christmas Eve, I believe, right before Jesus came to Bethlehem, he said, Father, that system you didn't desire. It didn't accomplish. It wasn't a good way. And of course, God knew that. It was preparing them for the Savior who would come. And so then in that same conversation, Jesus in effect says, the time has come. The night has come. I will enter their world. I will offer myself as a sacrifice. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. That gives me goosebumps. That Jesus, the Son of God, is anticipating Bethlehem. He says to his father, you have prepared a body for me. What body? A human body. Jesus is telling his father, you prepared a body for me? I'll take it. I'll leave heaven. I'll set aside all my glory. I'll set aside all my divine prerogatives. And shortly after that, you heard the cries of a newborn baby in Bethlehem. On Christmas Eve, folks, God was made into flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, took upon himself a human body. He also said to his father in that conversation, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. I will take a body upon myself and I will do your will, Father. That's what God the Son did. And he came and he did everything that pleased his Father perfectly. And he would become the sacrifice that is pleasing, that is sufficient, that can take away sins. Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, the Son of God, the perfect sacrifice. On Sunday mornings during the month of December this year, we looked at Christmas through the eyes of different players in the Christmas story. For Herod the Great, Christmas was a threat. For the Magi, Christmas was a journey. For Joseph and Mary, Christmas was a trial. For the shepherds, Christmas was a surprise. What was Christmas like for Jesus? Christmas was a sacrifice. Everything about the life of Jesus Christ was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for him to leave heaven. It was a sacrifice for him to take upon himself flesh. It was a sacrifice for him to live here in poverty. It was a sacrifice for him to do battle with Satan as a man. And it was a great sacrifice for him, the ultimate sacrifice paid for him to go to the cross at Calvary and take our sins upon him. John Donne, a famous preacher from years back, put it so eloquently like this. He said, the whole life of Christ was a continual passion. Others die martyrs, but Christ was born a martyr. He found a Golgotha even in Bethlehem where he was born. For to his tenderness then, the straws were almost as sharp as the thorns after. And the manger as uneasy at first as his cross at last. His birth and death were but one continual act. And his Christmas Day and his Good Friday are but the evening and morning of one and the same day. Tonight, we remember that the sacrifice of heaven was born. And he gave his life for us. And it was a love sacrifice. He did it because he loves you. He did it because that's what we needed, that our sins might be forgiven. Christmas means that he descended that we might ascend. He became poor that we might become rich. He was born that we might be born again. He became a servant that we might become sons. He had no home that we might have a home in heaven. He was hungry that we might be fed. He was thirsty that we might be satisfied. He was stripped that we might be clothed. He was forsaken that we might not be forsaken. He was sad that we might become glad. He was bound that we might go free. He was made sin that we might be made righteous. He died that we might live. He came down that we might be caught up. So many distractions around this time of year. But please tonight, let the true meaning of Christmas be absolutely front and center. Christmas is about God becoming man, becoming a sacrifice for our sins. The gospel message is a pretty simple message, actually. Basically says, there is a God and he loves you. And he created you. But mankind turned their back on God. We fell into sin. We rebelled. And our sin has separated us from God. And the penalty for sin is death. And as sinners, we can't save ourselves. So God sent his Son to rescue us. Jesus lived the absolute perfect life, the perfect Lamb of God. And Jesus became the innocent victim or substitute for us on the cross. Our sins were placed on him. He died, didn't stay dead though, amen? Rose again that third day, and he has defeated death. And because of what he has done, there is a way for all of mankind to be saved, to be completely forgiven. Scripture says that you must place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will do that, all of your sins are forgiven because his sacrifice is sufficient. His shed blood washes away our sin. He pays the penalty. He pays the price. And if he didn't do that, we'd be so lost. My prayer tonight is that every single one of us would understand that message. If you're here tonight and you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, rejoice tonight in the Savior. Maybe you're here tonight and Christmas has always just sort of been another holiday to celebrate. My prayer is that you would understand, that your eyes would be open and comprehend to the amazing miracle that's taking place on that first Christmas Eve. The perfect sacrifice has been sent. Let the holiday, let this Christmas Eve be the time that you open your heart to Jesus if you haven't yet. Could I have everybody's head bow? Eyes closed. You have an opportunity tonight to receive the Savior. God has moved heaven and earth to bring you salvation. But he won't force his way into your life. You have to invite him. If you're here this evening and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I'd like to lead you in a prayer right now. Just in the quietness of your own heart, would you pray this prayer with me? Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. I recognize why you've come. I admit to you that I'm a sinner and that I need to be forgiven. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Reign in my life. And if you prayed that prayer tonight, you have received the greatest gift possible. Jesus will come into your life. He will wipe away all of your sins. He will make everything brand new in your life. And now you can walk with him. Father, I pray that all of us would walk afresh with you this evening, this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? We're going to do something a little bit different. You know, when we were in the tent, we used to do candlelight. We're not going to do any candlelight tonight, but I am going to give you permission for the first time in the history of Calvary Chapel Sun City to turn on your cell phone during the service. Turn it on. Put it on vibrate, but turn it on. Does everybody have a cell phone? Because you're so used to not having your cell phone at church. How many? Lay it up. Lift it up. Kill the lights. Up. Make them go lower. The electronic candlelight service. Let's sing a few songs a cappella.
No way in the manger. No crib for a the stars in the sky look down there. Lord Jesus, the
Would you join me in thanking AJ and the choir and all the work that they did? One of the greatest things about doing the choir thing this year is getting to see talent. And JoJo and James, wow. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. As you head out tonight, on your right as you go out, we've prepared a goodie bag for each of the kids. So kids, all kids under 25, no, even younger than that, elementary and under, be sure and get yourself a goodie bag. Parents, all the bags do have nuts in it and peanuts, so just so you know, in case you have an allergy issue with that. But listen, from the bottom of my heart, I wish you a Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful, safe holiday, and may you grow closer to Jesus Christ this next year. Can we do Feliz? Feliz Navidad.